This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I'll piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh road. Call me private.
Welcome to episode 259 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And I don't have my sidekick in here right now. She's down there making some pumpkin rolls with some homemade Cherokee tan pumpkins that she had canned from like maybe a couple of years ago, but it's still going to be off the meat rack. And right off the bat, I want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Okay, Redemption Shield. Look, I got a guest on tonight, y'all. You're going to want to listen to him, and you're going to see a theme to a lot of what I'm covering here, but I got to also cover what happened last night. Don't worry, I'll get into that in a minute. But Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, I got my bare feet at all times. I'm G'd up from the feet up, always grounded around here. Always worried about those biohacks. That's why I got these blue light blockers right now, and I wear them as often as I can. These are actually the yellow ones here. I know people are wanting to know the names of them, but I'm not going to tell you because they had some satanic imagery on the side of the doggone things, and I had to go out there with a file and scrape it off. So I ain't going to tell you who these are. I'll have to find another brand for those that are asking, so I can't tell you what these are. But anyway, these got a yellow tint to them. And then there's another one for at night, and they have a red tint. And that's basically what I wear, basically what Jonathan Otto was talking about last night. It's not so much the blue light, it's the flicker rate. So that's what these protect me from. All right, WellBots, remember, they got that deal going on right now with Billy 200, that Black Friday deal. I think they're already like $1,600 off, and plus you get another $200 when you use code Billy200. No monetary gain for me. It's just everybody that's coming on here, I'm doing the best I can to work out some kind of deal, especially during, you know, the holiday season. I don't celebrate a lot of these holidays, but I know a lot of people do. And I want to give back to you people as much as I possibly can. And last night was proof of that with Jonathan Otto. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, been a journeyman electrician for 27 years now. And there ain't nobody with anything better in the deal than EMP Shield. So remember, the number one threat to your home is going to be lightning. At least it would have been up until we decided to try and start World War III right now. And they're going to give you $50 off with promo code PERMA. Now, okay, first of all, anybody that was in last night, well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who's coming in live right now. Please hit that thumbs up. Tell them to go ahead and start suppressing us as they always do. And remember, if you can, try and pass this stuff out as far. I mean, I could tell by the trajectory of last night that this thing was about to go parabolic. But that video got taken down by YouTube. Okay, why, you might ask? Well, my new friend Jax basically informed me that we talked about a substance on there that almost certainly got us. We didn't cloak it enough. But here's the crazy thing about it. I've spoken of that substance many, many, many times before. And I've never had a problem with it as far as YouTube banning me. So they gave me strike one. And then they sent this little nasty gram saying, don't even tell you what you did. And then second of all, giving me a warning saying, hey, if it happens again, we're going to ban you for 2 weeks. Look, the whole reason they're doing this and the reason why it works so well on so many other YouTubers is because it creates a chilling effect. It tells everybody out there, I better not speak up or stand up or whatever. Well, look, my heart doesn't pump Kool-Aid, and doing the right thing doesn't mean you're going to keep a job. And so I may not keep this one, if y'all know what I mean. But if you do want to watch that video, it's over on our Rumble channel, And I'm also, we also have a presence now on X. I just started that account a little while ago. I think maybe we got maybe 20 people on there. And if I can, I'm going to figure out what I need to do to start broadcasting on X, because I think I can probably get away with anything right now. And, you know, one way or another, look, I don't know what YouTube's going to do, and I'm not going to shut up. And I'm certainly not going to shut up, and neither is my guest, about what's happening around this place. We'll come to that in a minute. Also, want to point out that the people that won the giveaway last night, I did a lousy job of explaining what you ought to do. So if you were one of the people that won last night, I haven't had a chance to check my email. Email me at billy@permapasturesfarm.com. Just the people that won, okay? And hopefully it gets through to me, because we got a lot of weird phenomenons going on around this place. Where sometimes people are reaching out to me and they just don't get the emails. And then finally, Jonathan Otto's link last night, folks, if you haven't listened to that program, please go check it out on Rumble, or you can listen to the audio broadcast, because I'm telling you, he was dropping bombs of information regarding, all kinds of things that you can, well, I mean, my guests can also speak to some of this as well, but he was dropping bombs as far as how you can make yourself healthy in the most astonishing ways just by doing simple things. A lot of them I've talked about as well here, but I wanted to get on the consummate expert. And if you're looking for a deal over there, I once again don't have an affiliate deal over there, but they have a lot of Black Friday things going on over at myredlight.com. And consider the things that he talked about. You'll have to go back because I can't mention it here. Think about those things he talked about you can get for free. Okay. So before I get into my guest, oh, and also myredlight.com, BBBF, Billy Bond Black Friday, is going to get you 10% off the already discounted price. So, like I said, I don't have, it's just a deal for y'all. So it's additional 10% off. And my man gave away like 7 items last night. So that's pretty awesome. Okay. Before we go to my guest here, I want to remind you, November 30th, Western North Carolina meetup. That's going to be this Saturday. I'm going to be there. A lot of other people are going to be there. Ben and Denise from Renewed Homestead are going to be there. And I'm going to ask everybody else, hey, if you got a lousy Thanksgiving dinner coming tomorrow, go there, because Chef Shane's going to be cooking. And I'm telling you what, he is going to knock your socks off with what he's got coming off that food truck. I'm telling you, it's that good. They sent me the menu the other day, and I'm like, oh my goodness, man, nobody on a food truck puts out this kind of grub. So, it's going to be at the Cane River Baptist Church, and that's going to be from 11 to 4, and that's 15 Cane River Road, and that's Burnsville, North Carolina. Now, coming up also after that, that's going to be March 18th through the 22nd. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this one. I know I'm going to be there. It's going to be it's the Shalom Temple. Your health, I can't even read my own writing. Man, these doggone glasses. Sustainable Meat. It's going to be in this link down below, but my friend Jax is putting on a 5-day event. And it's a 5-day immersion event featuring Barbara O'Neill. If you don't know who that is, folks, you definitely want to be there. That lady is the shiznit. And that's going to be in Mill Spring, North Carolina. So once again, giveaway winners, please reach out to me, billy@permapasturesfarm.com. I want to give a shout out to all the people that are coming in right now. And please hit that thumbs up. And like I said, if for some reason you don't find this channel right here on YouTube, go check us out on Rumble. I'm not a big fan of the Rumble platform. Everybody talks about it being a free speech platform. Well, if you think it is, go check out the Dollar Vigilante and find out how glitchy his stuff is. Go look up Max Egan and his videos and find out. So maybe it's the cream of the crap, but it is what it is. But I'm going to see what I can do. Also, not that X is a whole lot better, but I've started an account on X. So go check us out over there. I'm probably going to be dropping some information that I don't put out in other places. Also started up the Facebook account. I'm realizing that I'm going to have to use to get this information out, this stuff that the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know about, in order to get this out of there. Look, I'm not going to shut up. It's just what it is. I am going to come down like a ton of bricks, especially with the information that my guest is probably going to reveal tonight. And also the information next Wednesday. That one may very well get me my 2-week suspension on YouTube, because I'm bringing in all the test results from all the people that have done them. And it's 180 degrees out of phase. And I'm not just talking about Western North Carolina. I'm also talking about Tennessee and how polluted this entire area is and how nobody wants to talk about it and everybody's lying about it. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man Cole. You're going to have to unmute yourself, my man. We're going to go to my man Cole over at Barefoot Appalachia. How you doing, buddy?
So great, my man. So great. It's great to be on here.
Well, it's great to have you on. I did know it. You were a Patreon subscriber, and then you sent me a link to the stuff you're doing. And I got to be honest with you, man. I was blown away, first of all, that you were so close to me. And second of all, the work that you're doing. So, you know, right off the bat, man, why don't you get everybody, because a lot of folks may not know about you. You got a YouTube channel, you got an Instagram channel, you got a lot of things going on. Why don't you give us, take as much time as you need, tell everybody about yourself. And folks, you're going to want to listen to what he has to say, because he's been boots on the ground talking about the stuff that's going on around here. But first, about you, bro, give me your origin story.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be one that I'm going to condense, because everyone knows I say long story short and it turns into 2 hours, but nah, I got to be respectful of everyone's time. So basically, yeah, my name's Cole. You know, I grew up in Central Virginia, right outside of Richmond, did a little bit of HVAC school, went into the trades, did that for, you know, probably about a year and a half, wanted to do that so I could learn how to start my own business. As soon as I got out of high school, I realized I was doing industrial commercial stuff. So it wasn't applicable to like going out and working on people's houses. You need a team of like, you know, 20, 30 guys. I'm like, well, what am I doing here? Got trained in service. Was going to, you know, do like a home HVAC, you know, want to make some more money. And then I'm like, man, this is like not working out. So basically one day I'm laying in bed, like after work, just like chilling out. I'm on YouTube. I see this guy commenting on like a Gary Vee video, like inspirational video. Starts talking about wholesaling houses. So I'll just speed through this. Basically, I quit that job and I was like, I'm never going to work for anyone ever again. I was just had so much fire under my butt just because the way that it wasn't a good environment to be in. Trades in general was great, but the people I was with, it was like a tight knit circle and I was kind of like the outsider. So they're kind of trying to push me out or, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I knew like I was having my 18-year-old life crisis. I'm like, gotta figure out what I want to do. Gotta figure out what I want to do. So I quit that job, immediately started knocking on doors pretty much until my knuckles bled. And my goal was to wholesale houses. I'm watching all these gurus on Instagram and YouTube. Oh, you're going to make your first 100,000 in the first month. I'm like, cool. I'm going to retire my mom. We're finally making it out of here, making it out of the suburbs, boy. And that didn't really happen as instantly, but I spent a year and a half, got into, you know, door knocking and cold call and texting, just like marketing stuff, learning how to talk to people, getting out of my comfort zone. And I didn't have any sales experience or like really any experience doing like work at people's properties or anything about real estate. And I would just knock on someone's door. I'm like, knock, knock. Hey, do you want to sell your house? I'd like come up with an offer. I'd work with all like the investors and like the flippers in the area. I'd find someone down the road and I'd be like, hey, your name's Mike. You're working on 123 Main Street. I'm like, cool. If I get this house under contract, do you want to buy it from me? He's like, yes. So I'm like, cool. You're my business partner now. So I said, knock, knock, you know, we're working on a project right down the road. Me and my guy, Mike, you know, you have an interest in selling. And after a while, you know, it came into data business and people don't, you know, you're the 15th person to call me today. And eventually that got old because very saturated. And I just didn't really like that whole mess of things. So if they said no, I was like, no, I need some more money to like market this business and like, you know, make $100,000 in the next 2 weeks type of stuff. So I'm like, you don't want to sell your house. All right, well, like I see you got all these leaves on the ground. It's October. How about I rake your leaves? I'm like dressed up in a polo and like a Ford Taurus. And they're like, what, do you need like a rake? And I'm like, no, I'm a landscaper now. And I got into just like, I'll clean your gutters. I'll wash the windows. You know, I'll go, you know, pick up some sticks. I'll pull the bushes out. Whatever it was, I got into this one person. I knocked on their door. And it was like this really old lady, maybe 80 years old. And her grass is like 3 foot tall. I said, I'll cut your grass for you. I just saw it. And, she's like, no, my grandson's going to do it. And I said, honestly, I kind of believe you, but it doesn't look like he has the time to do it. I'd love to help you. And eventually I ended up cutting her grass. After that, she informed me she had 30 houses and they were landlords from way back in the day. They like bought them all cash, brick ranchers. So now I had 30 houses to work on. I ended up doing junk removal because they weren't good at screening tenants. They were doing a lot of evictions. So I'd go in there with a snow shovel. And I ended up saving up some money for an 88 Chevy pickup that the brakes went out 4 times on it when I was driving. It was really sketchy. And I put like a ladder rack on it and wood boards. And I was kind of like the scrap metal haulers that you see. And I just started cleaning out those houses, turned and burned. I already had all the buyers list for the real estate business. So I'm like, I'm not going to sell them houses. I don't like that. And it's hard and it's not really working. I'm just spending money. So I called up, you know, the 350 people, big stack of business cards I got at networking events. And I'm like, hey, I want to do some work. So I started out landscaping, kept going, built it up, got more comfortable. Would get some leads for like patios and pools. And I would kind of integrate with other bigger companies that I would made friends with the people. I always like to say collaboration over competition. So if someone calls me trying to put in a patio, I don't know how to do it, but my buddy Lee does. So then we'd work up, divvy up the job. I'd learn and get paid at the same time. He keeps his 6 to 8 guys busy. Got into more like native and then eventually edible landscapes because that's, you know, where my heart was. And then eventually I realized that, and I'm skimming over a lot here, but I realized I could be doing the same exact thing and busting my butt for another 5 years, but I'm still going to wake up in the middle of the suburbs and I'm not going to wake up on a farm and I won't have the apple orchard and I'm still going to have to go into these manicured lawns where people ask me to plant fake flowers. They say, can you put in plastic flowers so I don't have to water them? And I'm like, this is horrible. In a gated community, like everything, they're just the deadening of nature. It's just like the opposite of nurturing it. They're like, let's get rid of it. Let's try to tame it. And it just doesn't work. So I was sitting down and like, you don't have to talk too much about the business, but basically I was sitting down and I'm like, I got to do something different. Whole chain of events happened. I ended up connecting with this guy. He told me how to get into like the land business. So I started doing the same thing with kind of like land arbitrage and my company. It's called Homestead Scout. So I would go out and like remotely do everything just through the computer, hire booths in the ground, get a piece of property. And we'd improve it in one way or another, put a road in, get the access, rezone it. Didn't really have to do that ever and sell it. So that was my main business to like get me out of the suburbs. The biggest one I did was like an 80 acre plot outside of Dallas, Texas. I never did any bulldozing, like, you know, putting in houses and sewers and all that stuff. It was strictly rural recreational land. So I would always like to do stuff where like someone comes in and buys it and they're going to start having a family farm. That was going good for a year. I'm like, hey, I finally figured out how to get financial freedom. Let's go. I'm going to buy a piece of farmland. After I made a bunch of offers, and I'll try to make this as short as possible, but I was looking at land for maybe about 2 years at that point. And I would go out, get excited on Zillow, go out to the property, drive 7 hours, realize something catastrophic was wrong. I made a whole list of it. I stopped counting after like 30 things. I'm like, there's got to be something more about this. I'm really like, not really analytical, but when it comes to buying pieces of property, I knew I was going to, you know, spend my life savings or get like a mortgage and dedicate all this time into getting a piece of land. So I wanted to make sure it was the right one. All the people who bought land for me in the past, they would just be like, oh, it looks nice. Here's the price. And they would say, okay. I would go in there and I would just like, I'd cold call the neighbors. I would skip trace everybody and introduce myself. Hey, I'm on the way. Tell me why I shouldn't buy this. The listing says it's great, but what's the real deal? I'd get the history of the land. I'd look into the Superfund sites, kind of like what is now happening with all the floods. I was looking at all the potential like disaster and issue stuff before I even went there, like polluted land, coal mines, acid runoff, everything like that. I've got a lot of experience like digging into that, making sure you don't get a polluted piece of property. And, I mean, one of them I made an offer on. I was going to have 14 acres in the mountains of Virginia. Turns out as I'm signing the mortgage docs, the other neighbor calls me back. Both neighbors were child molesters and I backed out of the deal. After a couple of things like that happened, the last piece of land, I think last September, fell through. Someone else bought it out from under me. And I decided, hey, I don't want to live here in town. I'm not happy doing this business. Excuse me. If I don't do something now, at my age, like I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be old as heck and my life's not going to look the way I want it to be. And it's not just working hard. It's also like working smart and doing it in the right direction. I had a bunch of clients I talked to and they told me their hopes and dreams. And a lot of them resonated with the ones that I had, but I saw that they were living in like a suburban, very manicured, sterile environment where they couldn't spread their wings. And there's nothing wrong if you like living there. I don't resonate with it. I want to rewild the earth. And I saw myself in their shoes. I said, if I don't do something now, I'm going to end up just like all these, they were unhappy people living in this area that I don't want to live in. So what I did was I had a backyard nursery with hundreds, probably more than hundreds of fruit trees, berry bushes. I sold all that. I got all this, like my personal possessions. I sold a bunch of that. A lot of the equipment, sold that. Everything that I couldn't fit in the back of my pickup truck, I got rid of. That night I was on a project. This is when I finally decided to stop it. It was right about last October. I went out and the client asked me to do another job. I said, hey, actually, I just decided like, this is it, I'm gone. That night, I went to go drive to Ohio to buy a truck bed camper. And this is the start of my whole journey. on the way there, I was wondering if it was the right thing to do. You know, I'm praying to God. It seems uncertain. I know it's new, but what should I do? Is this the right path? You know, is this anxiety or is this a sign to tell me no? I ended up having a brand new transmission in that truck. As I go to drive to Ohio, my transmission starts to go out. I go underneath. I had to do the whole demonstration. I'm like a visual guy, but I go underneath. I'm taking a video for the mechanic who put it in. Hey, man, what's going on? Something's in my back pocket. Throw it up on the hood. Keep going. Anyways, 4 hours later, I'm out of gas. I go to the gas station. I'm out in Beckley, West Virginia, probably about midnight, 11 o'clock. And I realized that thing I threw on my hood was my wallet. So now I've got no wallet, no license, all the money, the credit cards. My transmission is on the way out. And I literally just closed down my business and like sold everything I couldn't fit there. So I camped out in a Cracker Barrel parking lot in the front seat. And I bought the thing, came back, and I was like, is this my whole year has been like using discernment, but also is this a sign or is this a test of my will? And I'm like, this is a test of my will. I had to negotiate the price of the camper down because all my cash was in my wallet. I just had a separate stack, like an envelope with $100 bills for it. And I started giving it to the gas station people. I'm like, man, I'm getting, you know, 10 miles a gallon here. This is going by quick. And I go by, come back, start renovating for 2 months, had a whole bunch of issues. You know, long story short, everything was going wrong with it. I came back for Christmas and Thanksgiving, see the family. Right after Christmas, I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm hitting the road. New Year's Eve, had a little gathering with some friends in the morning. I said, something tells me I need to go right now. And as soon as I hit the road, I had this gut feeling. I said, what if something goes wrong? That night I'm driving on this. I want to get to a forest road in West Virginia before it closed for the year. See the views, one of the highest points in the state. And I started to visualize myself crashing. And I was like, man, I got to get off this road. You know, what if I went around that corner and I toppled over and all my belongings were on the side of the road? And I said, all right, let me be smart. Got a little slotty on it. Pull over to a nice, beautiful spot away from all that. I'm like, man. Next morning, have some espresso and a blueberry muffin, you know, hanging out. All right, this is what it's all about. I'm going to, you know, get inspired, you know, figure out my life from here. What am I going to do? I see this road. I go to turn in on it. I miss the turn. I pull back, turn around. I got a picture at 1:30. 1:31 is me climbing out of the passenger side window. I was going 8 miles an hour around the corner, hit 3 inches of ice, rolled the brand new to me camper and the truck. I was stuck on the side of the road for 30 hours living in the tow truck guy's front yard. It's 10 degrees. It was in Canaan Valley, West Virginia, the land of milk and honey, as they say. It was one of the coldest places. I don't know if it's in the East, but at least in West Virginia, the weather is similar to Southern Canada. And once I hit that, I mean, I'm going slow. I'm not speeding. I got all this weight behind me, but I started to slide. As soon as that back tire ran off the back of the pavement, the thing was so top heavy, it just tumbled me and turned the truck off. I get up out of there and I wasn't feeling like, oh man, I was like, this is going to be a good story. Like whatever God's trying to tell me, because everything it's, you know, I ended a 2-year relationship right before that. Like everything in my life that I thought was stable, it all came, whether I did it or it just happened to me, it came crashing down. And I felt like I was at a reset and I was laying there on the side of the road in the snow. We got 2 foot of snow coming in the next couple of days. And I'm just wondering why all of these bad things are happening. And all I could feel in that moment was excitement for the future. Cause I felt like it was the death of the old me so that the new me could be reborn. I felt like anything that was tied to my past, except, you know, my wonderful family, my parents, needed to go. My old habits, not that they were bad, just anything. And I'm there and I was so excited. I didn't know why. I was like, I don't know why this is happening. But in my heart, I felt that it needed to happen so that it could like catapult me back. And that's where I was. And I was about to blast off. And I hadn't lived on the road. I hadn't done any of this crazy stuff before. I didn't know a whole lot of people outside of Virginia. And, you know, I scrapped the camper, fixed the truck, drove back with no back window. You know, the door's not open. I got to crawl out the other side. I got a U-Haul trailer. I got some trash bags. And I mean, I probably spent, you know, $7,000 on the transmission, $5,000 to renovate the camper myself. It like slides in the bed, hangs over the front, shower bed, all that stuff. You know, I had apples in there and the apples had turned into applesauce splattering around from when that happened. And I had to go in through the hole in the roof. The floor came out from under it. I'm sitting there in the morning eating some like crackers and, you know, like canned fish. And I'm like, this sucks. but whatever is going to happen is meant for me. And I'm so excited. And it sounds kind of corny, but I just knew it. I knew it so much that it was going to, this was the beginning of, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was the beginning of the adventure. And I'm glad that I could start off with a bang or whatever. Go through the winter, went down to Florida, met some people. Aaron, who introduced me to Jax, and everybody else. I think you were talking about interviewing him sometime. He was one of my best friends now. To save you that whole story, we randomly connected with each other, turned into like giving me so much esoteric knowledge that like I never would have known before. But I would consider him, say, like a Christian. So it's not like there's a very fine line between like the New Age stuff and then like, you know, this rare wisdom, but without getting too back far into like the deep end. All right, now with the seed planting.
Hang on.
Sorry, it's a lot.
No. I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot to unpack, but you got me, you know, you're weaving this thread, man, in a way that's got me captivated. I mean, how old are you, by the way?
I just turned 24 in August.
Okay, so man, that's a whole lot. I mean, I can already tell by your gumption and by what you've been through already that if you don't lose your drive, man, you're going to be nearly impossible to stop. I mean, honestly, how's that saying? Go, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, boy, if that's you definitely reached into the man territory. So, I mean, this is a pretty colorful story, man. I really think I would love to hear more of it, but I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I got to ask you what brought you into the work that you do right now in terms of, because we got to wind up leaning into, you know, what's going on around here. But I mean, I was looking at your videos when you reached out to me and I was like, okay, man, he's doing some pretty cool stuff. A lot of it looks like a lot of stuff that we do around here. What made that transition from going from where you were to what you now do?
Yes. I found some wild fruit in the woods a couple of times and it gave me so much joy and kind of a view into the past of what America, the world used to look like before everything was bulldozed and clear cut and, you know, commercialized, industrialized. And I took that feeling and I wanted to bring that to every single person that I could possibly imagine and give them that same feeling of joy and whatever you want to call it, of just finding wild fruit. Like it was a surprise. It's better than the store. I found two cherries hanging beautifully over a river and I ate them and I couldn't believe, coming from suburbs where you get your food from the store, you don't get cherries from the cherry tree. These are all male ones that just produce pollen. And I was sitting out, you know, in the truck at that point on the road and on this mountaintop. And I said, I was here 4 years ago. And I just see that, you know, the Forest Service planted some spruce trees. If I planted an apple tree here 4 years ago, I might be eating apples right now. And then I bought 981 American wild plum seeds, shipped it to my parents' place. Next time I saw them, I picked them all up. And anytime I went camping after that, whether it's at a stop sign, any area, the parks, plant blueberries. I do right now, I'm doing all native stuff, just simple. Usually grows a little bit better depending on it. Apples are great. No hate against apples. I like some apple trees. But I just started to plant them so that I could have a trail so that I could come back to that area and eat an American wild plum one day. The next person who's at that fire circle can look over and see a plum tree and have the same joy that I felt when I just randomly stumbled upon it and said, wow, I'm actually part of it. I'm not just witnessing nature. I'm now interwoven and incorporated with it. And maybe those people will be inspired to take that plum and plant that seed and take it to their house, their grandma's house, or give it to their friend and start creating, you know, paradise on earth. That's in my mind, that's a lot of what it is family, community, love, relationships, abundance is a big one. And a big part of that is food, wild foods, not sprayed with any chemicals, pesticides. That's what it's all about. It's just, I had that feeling and I wanted to share that. And then I just saw a different world in my mind that was here at one point.
So you know, you become something of a Johnny Appleseed on your site. I mean, man, you're out here, you're doing a lot of guerrilla gardening. I mean, walk us through that right quick, because everybody seems to think they have to own the land that they do the farming on. I mean, you do own that land. It's called a national forest. I mean, tell everybody about what you got going on there and what you've been doing.
Oh my goodness. I've had times where I've got 2 7-foot-tall persimmon trees strapped to my backpack with a whole bag of compost in there and a foldable shovel. And I'm running through there at midnight, stashing it in there. Gonna go plant it in the morning when the sun comes up. I've done some blueberries over by the river parks in Asheville. Come back to, I saw some big ones there. And I said, all right, I want to plant some more. Kind of expanded on that. Really just anywhere I go, I would carry seeds. And then eventually as the videos got bigger, I started to get some bigger plants. And then I got some pushback from some people saying, you know, oh, that soil is, you know, outside soil. It might have jumping worms in it. And you're going to screw everything up. And I knew it won't, because, you know, a healthy forest is just like a healthy body. It's not going to get sick. You just have to nurture it, nurture nature. But then I started, hey, do some bare root trees. And then, you know, so most of the time it's seeds. But yeah, I've done like full size ones in areas. I've even looked into like highway off ramps, but apparently the car exhaust fumes, it's not ideal. But, you know, if you're really hungry, I would eat some apples off of there. Yeah, I just go around and planting stuff. I've been, you know, I'm in a parking lot. I look up at the mountain and then I look down at, like, you know, the blueberries. And I say, what if I hiked up there and planted a blueberry at the top? And then I get the blueberry bushes and I put them in my backpack. I've done all native stuff, you know, local ecotype, whatever you want to call it. It's not like I'm out here planting kudzu. The Instagram ecologists want to act like I'm out here planting kudzu and autumn olive. Like, by the way, the Forest Service planted autumn olive thinking it was so great. And, you know, there's a place in West Virginia that they planted autumn olive. They clear cut 12 foot in diameter old growth trees that dried out 6 feet of organic matter that had never been touched by light, caught on fire, washed away all the topsoil when the rain came. Then they used it for bomb training during World War II. There's still live bombs there on there. They found one last year. And I'm the bad guy for planting a plum tree by the parking lot.
Well, it was also the government that put in this, people see me go on about it, this Chinese silvergrass along the interstates. And now it's taken over entire mountains around here. Things that, you know, there is nothing on this planet that will eat that stuff outside of a water buffalo. So I could say, yeah, I don't have a Chinese silvergrass problem. I got a lack of water buffalo problem. But show me anybody up in these mountains running water buffaloes.
That's right.
I mean, you know, that, yeah, so the government to offer any kind of criticism on somebody doing any guerrilla gardening, man, they can kiss my grits. So you've been out there doing a lot of this stuff, and man, it's really, I mean, I love what you're doing on your channel, because not only one of them popped up the other day where you're out there showing, you know, do you want a tree or do you want a fruit tree? And you're using some of Subkoviak.
I love those videos. Yeah. You and Stefan. I've learned so much. You're one of the first accounts I found on permaculture, probably thanks to your username. So when I was out in these suburban landscapes and I started telling people, hey, they're like, I want bushes. I said, what about a blueberry bush? You ever thought about eating it? What the heck? Getting people to plant comfrey out there. It was a lot of it. I owe to you for the inspiration. The guerrilla gardening, it was a video of you talk about planting beans at a stop sign. And I'm like, this is great. And that just gave me more inspiration to turn it into what it is now.
Yeah, bro. Fantastic stuff, man. And I love it. I mean, I absolutely love what you're doing. And, you know, you're giving me, I was on the phone with your homeboy down there the other day. I don't know if I should release his name right now, but the point being, man, what you guys are doing is blowing my mind, because so many people, especially around the Asheville area, there's no shortage of hipsters out there doing what it is. They think they're doing this or think they're doing that. And people like you are really, really making a big, big difference in the world. And also you're a massive inspiration for the people of your generation that are thinking where, you know, video games are where it's at, or social media or anything else, man. You're out there doing it. You're putting foot to butt. You're making it happen. You're making it happen. But hey, let me switch gears for a little bit, because this is where you're really the subject matter expert in a lot of what I'm about to ask you. Just a few hours ago, I was interviewing a woman by the name of Lacey Montgomery. And she was the one, I don't know if you've seen the video or not, Cole, but she was basically the one that broke the story regarding the cadaver dogs and all of them dying up here down by the river. Had an opportunity to meet her just a few hours ago, and got some video with her and everything hanging out. And she's basically given a situational report of, you know, the ongoing things that are happening and how she and her team are out here, you know, still rescuing people and finding bodies and stuff like that. But let me back up a little bit for all the people out there if you're late getting into the show, what I've talked about in the very at the very top of it, I said next Wednesday we're going to be dropping, and I mean dropping like Thor's hammer, the test results of what we found that's really, really going on around this area. And everybody in the local media, whether it's NPR, whether it's PBS, whether it's all the local stations, or even this one place called Mountain True. Yeah, I'm going to call them out. They're out here telling everybody that, oh, yeah, we're a little bit high on a couple of things, but these people claiming that cadaver dogs are dying and boots are coming back different colors. Well, that's all an exaggeration. It's overblown. It's not true. It's a bunch of hogwash. Don't believe it. Well, sadly, a lot of the local people around here are believing this garbage. And I'm going to tell them different when we break out the results we have. Well, Cole has been going around here, and he has it documented on his channel. You've been physically on the ground in numerous spots around here. Why don't you talk us through that, bro, and tell us what you – well, first of all, I noticed you're coughing, and you just got over something.
It tore me up.
You've been boots on the ground on these sites that they say are absolutely fine and clean. You're a young man in good health. What's been your experience?
So I heard the stories from my friends who live there. When I posted on Instagram about it, I had a lot of comments. Not most people, but there's that last 20% of the haters always. You're a disaster, Taurus. This is fake news, misinformation. You're just trying to stir the pot to get views. You're lying to get views. I was going to go there to help anyways, but I had some stuff to take care of up north. I literally just left that area 3 days before the storm, just came back. I went there. About a day and a half, 2 days in, throat started burning up, started hacking up yellow crap.
Now, this is after being on which site?
I was all over, but I started out in River Arts District in Asheville, okay. Went up to Burnsville, Marshall, went into Marshall, came down back into River Arts, went into Swannanoa. That was bad, off of Beetree Road. And then I ended up in Bat Cave helping out with some of those efforts. I could tell Swannanoa, I was hearing about this orange mist that's in the air. And when I got there, it was at nighttime. I was there for about 10 minutes at the fire station. I was getting some water because I was redirecting it to some people who needed it, handing it out. I went in there with the mission, obviously, to find the truth. But I also wanted to, I was taking I put my own money in there, had some for my aunt who had donated. And then I posted on Instagram, got some more, probably had $600-$700 worth of stuff in my truck that I was handing out to people in need, sleeping bags, XYZ. Swannanoa, I'm there for 10 minutes. It smelled like death. And people talking about bodies, I don't know if it smelled like bodies, it smells like chemicals. But what I learned later was that off that same road, Beetree Road, I think it was 111. The Radio Shack Superfund site was there with all those chemicals from processing. To my knowledge, how those work is they store them in vats underground. They do the soil water reclamation. But if a flood comes in and pushes all those tanks and uncovers them, it all goes into the air and the water. I could smell that 100%. The next day when I went up to Marshall, that's when I was walking. I heard about the toxic mud, went into some of the old buildings. I didn't smell anything there, but it didn't seem right. I was making sure not to, track that mud into my truck and, get it all up on me. People seemed like they were in good spirits, more in the rebuilding phase, and trying to figure out how to make money versus, struggle. I thought there was still going to be people like on the streets, oh, we need sleeping bags. That is mostly covered. They need hazmat suits. They need gas masks. I drove through a road and I saw a video the next day of this guy that was there at the same time as me. All I had to do was get out, but he found 10, passed away people in that same mud that I was driving past. I mean, it's horrible.
And where was that location?
That was in Marshall.
Yeah. So, yeah, stories like that aren't making the mainstream. And, of course, the official numbers are in North Carolina, about 100 and some dead, man. You got to be kidding me. I'm sorry, as you were, bro. When I hear these things, it just burns me up to no end. And I'm going to keep blowing the whistle. I don't care who I piss off in the process. Yep. They're lying about this, and they're lying about the chemicals. We got people like Mountain True and all these others that are out there whitewashing this entire situation. When I've been there, boots on the ground, I've seen it, I've smelled it, and we got the test that we're going to prove it, and we're going to show that all these people are just they're just manufactured lies, and it's meant. You even had the governor Cooper. you had that polecat right there in Marshall saying, oh, everything's fine. You go down there right now to some of these places, and what you smell does not smell in any way natural.
No, not at all. Go ahead.
No, as you were.
Cool. I was saying with that, I had talked to people in person. I got a lot of stories from locals, like I said, in person, but also on Instagram. But with the platform, I'm on there, posted a little, hey, I'm here. Tell me what you know. I talked with electricians who were rewiring houses in that area, laying down in the mud, went through their skin, gave them chemical burns. There was a lady whose husband was in one of the rivers. I don't know exactly which one. I think it was a little bit the other way towards Boone outside of Asheville, but he was cutting trees, slipped in the water. He got chemical burns, severe chemical burns on his leg, had to go to the hospital. That's what they diagnosed it as. His friend was in that same water, splashed it in his eye. His whole face was swelling up. He couldn't see out of that eye. And they're trying to say the water's safe. You know, I had some friends who tested it and they found the lead in there when they sent it out for testing. But when I'm in the city of Asheville, I'm talking with these people. And I think a lot of them are brainwashed by the news still. I mean, as you see, like the 2020 thing, the people who are telling us to wear masks in 2020 are saying we absolutely don't need them now and everything's safe and the people in charge are have our best interests at heart. You know what I'm saying? Oh, now, why are you wearing a mask? You don't need the mask. It's safe. The water's fine. Oh, the boil advisory was lifted on Monday. Why are you telling people not to bathe? I'm like, guys, this is not safe. I've seen this happen. And I've also heard talk to people who it's happened to. And they're calling me a conspiracy theorist because I'm saying that you should go get water from a different spot to shower. Don't go in the French Broad River. You guys are crazy. But like the burns on people's skin, the cadaver dogs. I heard about the mules that were hauling supplies out in those back roads. I knew they were doing that in Burnsville. I don't know if that's where they had passed away. But, you know, the mules or the donkeys were dying. That's all real stuff. Like, I wanted it to not be true, but I mean, I figured it was, and I went out there. I went in with an open mind. Hey, maybe, you know, there isn't nuclear waste there. You know, maybe there isn't like all of this. Maybe it's just a flood and everything's lost, which is horrible, but maybe the air is fine. Sure. And it wasn't, I was getting sick. I did a poll, a couple hundred people answered it. 56% of the people in Western North Carolina that answered the poll were sick. And I know it's, you know, cold and flu season, you know, it's wintertime, people are detoxing. But everyone had the same symptoms, you know, with the headaches, the burning eyes and nose, the coughing that doesn't go away. People are saying they can't seem to get sick, healthy again. Like they think they get a little better and then hits them down again. It's because they're absorbing all these toxins. And my body is a little bit more sensitive to this stuff because I had black mold in my body and I've been detoxing it. So one good thing about that is now I'm really in tune with my body. So if I'm in an area where something is unsafe, I can tell instantly. And of course, I have all the detox stuff, you know, thanks to Jax, she freaking saved my life. But yeah, I can tell when something's not right. And it really wasn't. I went into Bat Cave, which is over near Chimney Rock in Lake Lure area, because I didn't see anybody on the side of the road. Hey, you need a sleeping bag. Kept going further and further until we found there. You know, there's probably about 20 road closed signs, but I knew people needed the stuff. So skip past those. And I ended up finding the station over at the post office. There's this wonderful woman and her family and the people running the show. And basically they were like, hey, we could definitely use the stuff. Offloaded, you know, the $600 worth of supplies to her. Got her number, stayed in contact. We're originally planning. I organized a group of like, you know, 10, 15 people. The plan was to get excavators and go in. I brought in an excavation guy, people with equipment. And that's a funny comment. They were getting all of the foundations from the mobile homes, those steel beams, and we're going to cut oak slabs from the trees and build bridges to the areas that still were not accessible. And while I was there that night that I left, she had told me that four-letter organization worked with another one, and they put up a gate and they blocked off the road. The people that lived there couldn't get in or out.
That was a four-letter agency. Would that have been?
So everyone says it's FEMA. They definitely have a part of it. But from what I heard, they get the other agencies that people don't really know about to do their dirty work for them. You know, whether that's like local congressmen or, you know, the highway patrol or XYZ, you know, so it's never like they were doing it directly, but yeah, that's like generally who's behind it. They put that gate up, a guy bulldozed it that night, caused a big issue. All the sheriff's people came in there. And what she had told me is, yes, we need the gate gone, but the locals are trying to play by their rules, because if they keep bulldozing it, they're going to label all of those people in those towns as problems and then just pretty much just like clear through it all. and make their life harder. So they're trying to play around the red tape because they were getting some progress playing around with the red tape politic game. So yeah, that gate is currently up. You can't go from Batcave, which is like Asheville to Chimney Rock. Even if you're delivering supplies, you can't, you know, it's a big steel gate. And she just told me all the stories that people were telling me weren't true. All the ones that were supposedly conspiracies. I mean, I want to do a video with her, but I just worried about her safety and she didn't want to be on camera. But I mean, you name it. They told me that originally in that area, they had a helicopter rescue come in for some people. I think it was a private thing, like most of them. The only time FEMA came in there was to put up a gate and leave. They could have come in with supplies. They could have come in with excavator. I mean, I organized that to happen, but they came in, put up a gate, and they dipped out. And apparently, from what I heard from the locals, they were speeding through there, kicking up dust. They weren't very respectful. Apparently, some of them were okay. I was meeting, you know, I saw the sheriff. He had stopped me on the way in there. Very nice fellow. Yeah. So, I mean, at least the local law enforcement that I experienced when I was in that area, and it felt like cowboys and Indians. There were so many people there, and it wasn't crowded, but there were so many different agencies there. You don't know who is on your side and who is, because apparently it's like, you know, there might be some good cops. There might be some ones who are siding with FEMA and trying to get everybody out of there. There's open up, close up. It felt like it was very tense in that area. And it's not like big open space, you know, maybe like a big open valley where people can just go in. It's one way in, one way out. And that person might be blocking the road and that person might give you an issue. You know, they pulled up with us on, you know, side by sides asking, hey, who are you with? What are you doing here? X, Y, Z. Ended up working through a local church to get those goods there. And as soon as I said, hey, I've got the supplies with me, we're not just here to take pictures. He said, oh, by all means, brother, go out there, drop off, do your thing. I said, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have you noticed this other little phenomenon? One way in which they're able to get around in some of these cleanups, man, I really wish I would have taken more video, and hopefully I still can. And I'm going to ask you if you've seen the same phenomenon. And by the way, Mary in Texas, she says, I'd like to take that North Carolina governor down to the river and give him a baptism. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going Old Testament on a few of them around here myself. But no, the little phenomenon that we've noticed around here has been, and I kid you not, man, I have never... Like down by, okay, for the folks that don't know this topography around here, we have the Swannanoa, not the Swannanoa, but the, name of the river has escaped. French Broad, yeah. French Broad basically polluted like nobody's business. And then when you would drive down there, I remember I was with Ben and Denise at Renewed Homestead, and we were all heading somewhere. We were going to go pick apples. So we stopped down by the river. The smell, I mean, Denise got a headache instantly, and it was definitely in my nose as well. And I wasn't doing too great. But what I did notice, Cole, is that anybody they had doing any of the cleanup, they had no respirators, no nothing. They were all people that were from south of the border, every last one of them. And I guarantee the reason why is because if they die, well, they're not officially here anyway. And I saw hundreds. Man, I'm telling you, you think there was going to be a Ricky Martin concert going on down there? I had never seen so many illegals in one spot, and none of them spoke a word of English. And I'm like, where did all these guys come from? Where did they bring them in at? They got Tyvek suits on. They got rubber boots on, no respirator, no nothing. And I'm like, hold on. I smell a rat here. How is it they got all these guys down here doing this cleanup? And it was down by the High Five Coffee down by the river. And I'm like, okay, have you seen anything like that, man? It's just burning me up to no end, because as if these people's lives don't matter, they got them down there and they're telling everybody, hey, you know, who cares if they die? And then folks, on another note, go out there and look who's spraying all the lines under your power lines every single time, 100% of the time. I guarantee it's a whole gang of people that don't speak English. Why? Because they're not here illegally. They're not officially on the rolls. So if they die, nobody pays it. This is how diabolical this whole thing is, y'all. Cole, have you seen anything like that, or have you taken any notes regarding that?
When I was there, I didn't see anybody doing anything. I know it's out there. I don't know if it was a weekend or not, but it seemed very stagnant. I believe you. I've seen it definitely with like the spraying of like the power lines and stuff, because my friend had a property where they went into the river. I have friends in Eastern Kentucky in the coal mines. They had a helicopter spray their house and garden while they were there. They were outside. A helicopter comes with a brush killer, you know, that's Agent Orange without the kerosene, and it sprayed their whole entire place. I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff, but while I was there in North Carolina, I didn't even see one person doing cleanup. I saw people driving skid steers, but I didn't see a Tyvek suit. I was like, people should be wearing Tyvek suits, but you know, I believe it.
Yeah. It's a real mess, man. I mean, every time I turn around, there's, it's so dreadful because you see the great, wonderful things that are going on. And then I see a lot of grifters coming out of the woodworks too. Yeah. Have you seen any of those, or are people aggrandizing themselves on the backs of any of this?
I have heard, from those people that I know locally, that there's been a lot of people, they had told me stories, a lot of them, about people taking donations and keeping it all for themselves. One guy had $7,000. I heard of a local fire department who either got granted or donated $700,000, and they were out there cooking hot dogs, but they were not there rebuilding roads and bridges. And I'm not saying that's their job, but it was in a place that really needed those things. And there was private people taking donations from like their aunt and uncles just to get chains for chainsaws so that they could cut down trees and make a makeshift road or bridge. You know, getting people, hey, you have an excavation company. Can you please come help us? I'll buy you diesel if you help us clear a road, you know, so I can get to Aunt Nanny's house. Meanwhile, a mile down the road, this huge government organization that is sitting on enough money to do some stuff is just, you know, they're giving stews. I'm not saying I didn't meet them personally. I'm not saying they're bad people, but you could do a lot more with that money. And it seems like all of our tax dollars are going to other countries.
Yeah, to murder people elsewhere. Yeah, that's where our money's going. So maybe we ought not to be paying any taxes. Oh, maybe they'll just scrub me off of here for that one too. You know, if you ask Chef Shane, anybody, and by the way, y'all, if you're coming out to that event that's going to be this Saturday, I talked about it in the beginning of the program. Check this out. Talk to Chef Shane when he's out there, because when this thing jumped off, my man was going every single way he possibly could to try to help out in any way that he could. He has a lot of medical training and a lot of knowledge concerning a lot of things. And one of the deals he had is that he was there working on a camp for FEMA. Now, you'll have to get the specific details from him. Perhaps I can even get him on the show to talk about it. I got a little bit of video of him talking about it before, but folks, check this out. He said, and like I said, if you go to that event, you can ask him yourself. You can ask him directly. But he was out there doing the construction on one of these places where FEMA was, it was like a man camp for FEMA to send their people out. And he said he's in there trying to do this and that, and every last one of them, this is at the height of this thing as it was jumping off, and every last one of them were sitting around playing cards, chilling out, you know, joking, playing on their phones, you name it. None of them helping to build any of the structures around there, not doing anything. And then when the 82nd Airborne came in, like I said, you know, the 82nd, it's known that the 82nd, I know because I used to be part of it, anywhere in the world in 18 hours. That was, it wasn't our motto, but it was kind of known. Anywhere in the world in 18 hours. But it took the 80 deuce to be on the loose in Western North Carolina almost 2 weeks before they got deployed. I'm not blaming the Joes, but I'm blaming all the people that are responsible for deployments and things like that. So did you see any military or National Guard out there helping, Cole?
I did not. I had a friend who lived out near Charlotte, and he had a lot of military buddies. And this was, you know, I guess you call ground zero or day one, day two, right after the storm. And he was saying, hey, man, where are you guys at? Are you guys going to come out here to come help us? And he's like, we've been trying, like the actual people in the military were like, we're trying to leave. We want to go see our families, help them, see if they're okay. They said, we're sitting on our hands right now, waiting on orders because we're on standby for Israel. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, they're not allowing us to leave. Even if you want to go out, you know, not with the whole crew, like just personally, we're on standby for Israel. They're literally just sitting there. They're under direct orders to stay and not do anything. Whatever politics that is, that's a story from someone I know personally. And apparently I've seen some videos of maybe the National Guard coming in bulldozers and stuff. I didn't see anybody while I was there. All I saw was hardworking Americans, good old boys with tractors and skid steers, rebuilding roads. I know people that were over near Burnsville, and there was probably 20 bridges washed out to get from there to that main road near Weaverville. And the people that were putting in the culverts and regrading those roads and fixing all that stuff was just Bob with a tractor, you know, the West Virginia boys came in from West Virginia, built the road to Chimney Rock in what, 3-4 days? I heard stories that the DOT or whoever was saying it would take, I heard anywhere from 4 months to 5 years to actually put in the road there, get permission, permits, engineering, 3 days. And granted, is this engineered road that's going to, you know, put a highway on there, drive it every day for 10 years? Absolutely not. But it gets people through. I saw dump trucks on that road. That's where they put the gate up. I mean, it's all politics at that point. All you need is people to get in and out for supplies. It doesn't need to have guardrails and be all fancy yet, because people are, you know, dying there without help. There was the trailer park right on the way to Chimney Rock, Lake Lure area. And that's like, at least from this area, it was boxed in. You know, they were doing the land grabs there. I saw the videos of the people talking about how they're getting offered to, you know, set, buy the land, and the people who stayed there. They're putting notices on here saying, hey, this house is condemned. You got to leave. You can't live here. And if your children were with you and you don't have another place to go, they were taking your kids. Like, that's real. I know a guy who's a semi-truck driver. And he was telling me about his buddies who were going in and out of there. There was a so-called FEMA camp. And there was one of these dudes that I had talked to. He went there, went in the bushes at nighttime. You see a parking lot full of cars, like people were living there at this camp. But at 9 o'clock, not a single person was moving in or out. The lights weren't flickering. No, there was no activity. And at that same spot, I believe it was that same spot, the truck driver I was talking to says they go there as soon as the sun goes down. And they were just transporting body bags day and, well, not day and night, but just every single night. Semi-trucks full of body bags, trying to say that the death toll is 150. I don't know how many fits in a semi-truck, but when you see a whole parking lot full of them, you realize something's going on.
Yeah, man, it's dreadful what's going on here. And nobody, I mean, my best friend up in Massachusetts, one of my best friends up there, he's like, dude, I mean, it was 2 weeks later. He didn't even have any idea this was even going on. I mean, we have got a disaster of biblical proportions, thousands probably dead. We can't even get a solid... I mean, we're talking entire communities washed away. And judging by some of the videos that you've presented, man, I mean, there are certain areas you can look there and you know nobody survived that. I mean, there is no way on earth anybody could have survived that. And like you said, we got mysterious places that are roped off. You can't gain access, but there's no good reason as to why. Mm-hmm. All these bodies that are and people that are missing, nobody's talking about it. And, you know, it sure is funny. Like you said, you know, I think the most poignant thing that was said so far is that the very same people who were wearing masks when we didn't need to wear them, the same one saying right now, take them off. I mean, there is no lie. The American public cannot be made to believe. I'm absolutely convinced at this point.
Hell yeah. I did that. I noticed the difference between people in Asheville. You know, there's that stereotype. And I knew the stereotype. So I'm like, hey, you know, I heard these crazy conspiracies. I didn't know if they were true or not about the water and, you know, FEMA not helping and sectioning stuff off. I'm like, that's probably not true, is it? Like, that's misinformation. I was like, do you think Duke Energy actually opened up the dam to flood that stuff? Was that, I mean, I saw them do it, but like on the drone shot, but do you think that was real? That's misinformation. I'm like, okay, I got the video right here. And then as soon as I went out into those more rural communities, it went from that story to like, these M&Fers are trying to get rid of us. They're sectioning our stuff. I'll tell you what, talk about not helping. Those people, FEMA, who came in to put that gate up and leave, while they were doing that, it was actually a little bit before too. My friend who has the base there, they came in, took their porta potties, came back in, tried to take their shower trailers. They're not even just not helping. They're actively trying to get those people out of there so they can do what they want. And that's a fact. That's someone I met in person. If I said that before going there, oh, that's maybe not true. Misinformation. I met the people, great people, gave them a hug. You know what I'm saying? And maybe there are some areas where they're going around, you know, I said that and someone got really mad on Instagram, DM me, say, hey, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for FEMA's help. Cause they, you know, they gave us a trailer or something. They're doing something. But it also took them 2 weeks to get there when all I heard the first 2 weeks was we the people, us as Americans, your neighbors, your community, everyone was coming together before any organization. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they came in 2 weeks later, did a little something, but they're still blocking off certain areas. They're still causing issues. And I'm not saying they're 100% all bad or whatever, but the people I talk to do believe that. And I'm not sure what good it is that they are doing, but maybe there's some good people in the organization that are trying. And if they are, then, you know, I wish them the best. I just haven't seen it with my own two eyes.
Well, Cole, I can't thank you enough, man, for shining a little bit of light on this, because I'm going to continue to stay on top of this, because honestly, there is, I can't believe how much time I got to spend as a reporter. I can't believe how much time I, and you yourself, I mean, you're doing the very same, you're doing yeoman's work, going out here, showing everybody on your channels what is going on and how it's 180 degrees out of phase with what we're being officially told. And in so many cases, I mean, we still haven't even gotten to the bottom of what happened in Ohio or what's happening right now. Dioxin's all over the doggone place. They set it on fire. Who even knows how many people are poisoned to this day? We got the same thing going on here. And we got these hoople heads running around here so willing to be spoon-fed this nonsense and these lies. And by and large, people are just buying it. But there's a gang of us out here, and I would obviously include you among those, that aren't buying this. And you're going out there and you're shining a light on this stuff. You're spotlighting all these cockroaches. And I'm gonna go full steam ahead on this thing, bro. And I don't care. I mean, YouTube can go ahead and take me down. I don't care what. Like I said, doing the right thing doesn't mean you keep a job. So I may not keep this one. I was looking for a job and I found this one. So, bro, whatever goes down, I don't care. And like I said, if anybody's coming in late right now, they took down, I saw a couple of things in the chat. They took down the video I did last night because we were clearly helping too many people. But you can find it on Rumble, and you can also find it in your audio, in the audio version of our podcast is by far the more popular anyway. So if you're looking for that, and if you haven't, please pass that around, not because it helps me any, but honestly, people need this information. And we've only covered like one base of it. And that's part of why everybody, I was talking about the event. The lady that helped out Cole, I mean, he was one foot in the grave with what he was going on. Jax, she's got this event going on, and that's going to be in March 18th through the 22nd. So that's going to be a five-day event. Obviously, you don't have to be there for all 5 days. I'm going to do everything I can to be. I'm definitely going to be there. And as I might even be presenting there as well. And I imagine, Cole, you're going to be there as well. But I'm going to try and do as much as I can to get a coalition of the willing. And that's part of what these homestead gatherings, like the one coming up this Saturday, we'll leave it in the show notes below. But I mean, this is where we can go out here. You can talk to one another, compare notes, commiserate, build your mutual assistance groups, all those things. And you're going to meet a lot of other people where you may feel marginalized in your local community, your town, your house, even. And you can go to this place and find like-minded people that you're certainly. That's the beautiful thing about a lot of these things is that when you go there, there's not much of a feeling out process, because it's like we're all on the Isle of Misfit Toys, man. We're all kind of marginalized where we come from. And you just, like when I first time I talked to Cole, I was like, okay, it wasn't much of a feeling out period, man. I already knew I liked this dude. And honestly, looking at what he's doing and, you know, and the people he surrounds himself with, man, it's just a real, real joy. Well, Cole, tell everybody where they can find you and, you know, tell us, do you have any adventures planned coming up soon?
So right now, I'm on pretty much all platforms, Barefoot Appalachia on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Do some longer form videos on there. I got to do more. In the near future, I'm planning on, I've got some friends with some projects out in Florida. I think after Thanksgiving, I want to go down there and start building some food for us. If I had a piece of land in Appalachia, I like Grayson County, Virginia, Highland County, Virginia, Pendleton, West Virginia. If I had some land there, I'd be there building probably a log cabin, planting out my orchard. But until I do enough of these food forest installs to where I can afford one of those and find a good deal, maybe some owner financing, maybe I'll install your orchard and you'll barter me some land and I'll subdivide it off and live there. Until that happens, I'm going south, at least for a little bit, and I'm going to do that same thing and spread the good word down there, because that's something I haven't done in Florida. But I also, like I said, I'm looking for a home base so that I can spend the winters up here and have a wood stove and tend to my fruits. That's what says, plant a fruit tree. The back says, rewild the earth, like to nurture nature and reap the fruits. That's what it's all about. So yeah, all the socials, Barefoot Appalachia, going to be, if you got a food forest company, landscaping company there, I can talk about it on my page to get some leads, and I want to help on those projects to actually, you know, go down there. We can both make some money and spread the good word, maybe doing some guerrilla gardening with some mangoes on the beach. And then also, if you have a piece of land, you know, you got 100 acres, you don't mind, you know, a couple of them, you have a good neighbor, I would love to do something with that because I need a home base. I've been traveling for a year, and I need a place to call my own to where I can start nurturing my own land as well, because that's been a big hole that I need to fill.
Well, bro, you got a lot of time to figure it out. You're a young guy. You're doing fantastic work. And I got to say, it's been a joy to have you on here, and you're giving me a little bit of hope. Hey, y'all, remember, once again, we got that event this weekend. It's going to be WNC Homestead Meetup. That's going to be 11 to 4 at Cane River Baptist Church in Burnsville, North Carolina, 15 Cane River Road. And we're going to be talking more and more and more about these things that are going on. But honestly, we're going to try to organize more of them and get more people involved. Shane's going to be doing a radio class out there, and you're going to have some of the, so if you're going to have a jacked up Thanksgiving, you're going to have to eat Aunt Myrtle's, you know, some jacked up mashed potatoes or whatever, whatever the case may be. You can make it up to yourself by going out here to this event this Saturday, because I guarantee, if nothing else, the conversation is going to be great and the food is going to be off the meat wagon. Till next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive. You spitting that man a cotty, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to bow down. Yo, Billy, one more thing, can I ask you? I will never bow down, cause I'm a
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.